Hello and welcome to the Dementia Experience podcast. My name is Clara Hebblethwaite and today we've got a guest called Sarah Metcalf, who is the fantastic Managing Director of the Utley Foundation. Welcome, Sarah.
Hello.
It's so nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure, pleasure. Well, I've heard loads about you through my friend Sophie Lewis, who works alongside you. But also just having watched lots of your work from afar. And I think, yeah, some of the projects that you're involved with are just fantastically exciting. The first project that I kind of got into and worked with Soph and your company alongside was called the Give It A Go campaign. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
The Give It A Go campaign was the idea of encouraging people who are caring for somebody with dementia and family carers to use music and in just day-to-day living as a way to make living with dementia easier. And that what we wanted to do was we'd realised that music has got this amazing neurological power to connect with people, even if they've got dementia, but it can be a bit overwhelming. People think, oh, I'm not very musical, or I don't know how to do that, or it's just another thing to do. Yeah. So what we wanted to do with Give It A Go was just encourage people to try it in small ways and see, can music make day-to-day life just that a bit easier when you've got dementia? And you and your mum, Patricia, were some of the stars of the little film that we made that was a really key part of that. So thank you to both of you. And I'm so excited being here today to finally meet you in person.
Oh, well, it's a huge, huge pleasure. And Mum and I absolutely loved the experience. And actually, I've watched that film so many times. And it's not just necessarily for watching my mum and I in action, but seeing the other families as well. There's that really common thread, isn't there, between us all, that really kind of was captured perfectly, in the sense that it felt like when words run out or when feelings become too distressing in terms of a family member looking after their loved one with dementia, music could be that link that still remained that would keep them both kind of going.
Completely. And I think that's one of the things I've been working in the sort of music and dementia area for about 10 years now.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that I find saddest is when I go out and I speak to people about how music can help and do little talks. If somebody comes up to me afterwards, it always happens where somebody comes up and says, that was lovely, I wish I'd heard this 10 years ago because I didn't know, and my mum's dead now or my dad's dead now. And that is awful, that people don't, if they don't know this possibility, people come across it by accident. And I think what you see in Give It A Go are these families where they have come upon this knowledge and it has transformed the way that they're able to connect and engage and stay with that person even as the condition progresses. So I think Give It A Go was really important from that perspective, because it showed lots of those duos, the person with dementia and the person, their primary carer, and the relationship between them, and how that relationship pre-existed the condition, but the music can help the relationship continue even despite the condition. So, I think for me, I agree. I think that wee film, I watch it still. Yeah. And there's always something fresh that you see in it.
Yes.
And you just get an overwhelming feeling of how amazing people are in the way that they battle this together with their loved one. And music as a part to play that could be really helpful.
Yes. So are you encouraging people to kind of listen to music together, or to play potentially an instrument together, even if it's, you know, a small kind of maracas or a drum or something like that? Is it about creating a rhythm together as well?
I think there's a range of ways that it can be done. And I think what we've been building up from on the Give It A Go side are we're trying, first of all, with the sort of low-level entry points that people can start.
Yeah.
So that might be just turning on the radio.
That
one of the things we do is we run a radio station which plays music organised by decade. So it's all music from the 50s or all music from the 60s.
Brilliant.
So just turning that on is a starting point.
Yes.
But another low-level entry point might be making a playlist.
Yeah.
Or so we've got information about how people might do that. at another low level, slightly higher level entry mm-hmm. is to join a choir, just yes. go along. But I think what you're tapping into is that there is also this active music making and
yes.
that there are things that I think, particularly as somebody progresses through dementia, if you can learn a bit, if you can learn musical techniques mm-hmm. around drumming or yep. rhythm or mirroring, so
yes.
that if words have gone, you can still connect and communicate through
yes.
through sound and rhythm and doing that together.
Yes. So, yeah. And just as you would with a young child, the beat of your heart will match theirs. And they are so excited, the baby sitting on your lap, when you copy the beat that they might happen to start. And it immediately gives them a feeling of following me.
Absolutely. And I think, have you discovered that by accident?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because so much of their time, the person with dementia, is controlled by others. So finally, if mum does tap the table and I tap back, she feels like it's her rhythm, it's her beat that we are kind of following. And therefore, she has that upmanship, which is a really powerful thing for her.
And she's able to initiate a connection,
yes.
not just be receptive to
yes.
it.
And that's got to be more powerful, hasn't it?
Well, that's communication, isn't
yeah.
it? It isn't all one way.
And yeah.
I think for you to have found that and to have discovered that yourself, I
yeah.
think is amazing. And that for other people who haven't discovered it, I think sharing that message from somebody who has done it and has seen it, that's so powerful and so important, I think, to get that message out there.
Yeah, thanks. I think the main message that I was always sort of reminded of in a brilliant book about contented dementia that was written.
Oh, I love
which
that book.
Yes.
Oliver James.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
there's the website alongside.
Yes.
And one of the key things he said was, you know, they are the expert. So kind of watch and learn from them. So rather than me trying to desperately dress mum or trying to, you know, arrange her schedule in a way that I thought would suit her, I just did try to take a step back, observe her. And yeah, that was one of the things when she did do a bit of tapping on the table. And it wasn't necessarily to the sound of anything. It was just her tapping. And I tapped back and her little face changed immediately because she was like, hurrah, we're talking through this medium rather than the more traditional, you know, but it was, as you say, a tennis match rather than a one-way street.
Absolutely. And that is, yeah, I think that the Contented Dementia book stayed with me for a
yes.
long time as a way of trying to picture what life was like and trying to, and I think it gives you a method for finding the person still, not letting them disappear,
yes.
that still finding a way to them. And
yes.
Yeah.
So our job, therefore, as a caregiver or as a friend of someone with dementia or as a family member, is to work out what language makes sense in that moment. And you're saying, and there's so much anecdotal, but also other scientific evidence, that music can be one of those really important languages.
And it's quite likely to remain even
yeah.
when more straightforward language, as in words,
yes.
has gone.
Yes.
And so knowing that actually is quite likely to be a thing that can connect, I
yeah.
think just that knowledge is really helpful.
Yes, there's huge
I always
reassurance.
Worry a bit about saying our job. I feel like people with care, like the job of carers is to do this. I feel it's so hard. I always feel I need... Whenever I'm speaking about it, I always think that it's about trying to make people know things they might want to give a go.
Yes.
That it's not that anybody must do this
no.
or should do that. It's,
yeah.
There's so much about life, isn't there, where
yes.
where you're feeling, I must do this, I should do this, and I haven't done it, and I've let it's not working.
Yeah.
And I think that was part of the give it a go message was... don't have to do this.
No.
It's not prescriptive.
Yes.
You just, but
no
try
pressure.
It.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Yeah. So it's in your toolbox. It's something you could tap into.
Yeah.
And as you say, there's so much advice which can be absolutely exhausting to hear, let alone put into action. So this is just gentle guidance that it's there if you need it. Music could be something that will make sense for you. Brilliant.
I think that's one of the things I've liked about what I know of the dementia experience
yeah.
is about trying to think of it as experiences and weighs into and thoughts. And it, as we were talking about earlier, I think the whole dementia journey pushes us all to think about new things in and difficult things in new ways about life and death and what it is to be human, what it is to communicate, what it is to connect, what it is to love somebody.
Yes.
And that it is an experience, that it is a real journey that people go on. And there are, I think the way that you're approaching it at Dementia Experience, to just to support one another as we try to find a way through what dementia is to remain connected to the people that we love.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Oh, well, you express it beautifully. Thank you, Sarah. Now, one group that you're working alongside that have taken lots of the ideas that we've already discussed and have been hugely successful and were featured in The Telegraph just recently is the Manchester Camerata. What have they done up north that has been so, so spectacular?
Manchester Camerata are, they call themselves Britain's most adventurous orchestra, and they do loads of really exciting creative output. But one of the things that they've been working on for about 10 years is using music with people living with dementia through their cafe, their music cafes, where they bring people together for music making, but also listening to the fabulous musicians playing music and dancing, and people go along with their family carers, and the people with dementia go, and everybody has a lovely time and a cup of tea, and it's a really important part of the routine. What they're also now doing is building up a network of music champions, where they're training people who work in social care, but also volunteers and family members in some of these musical techniques to use in care settings or in daily life. Brilliant. And so they're training up hundreds of music champions, and they've been doing that for a long time. We work a lot with Manchester Camerata, and they're an amazing place. And one of the things that we do at the Utley Foundation is we put a large amount of money into something called the Power of Music Fund, which is a shared investment fund for people of trusts, foundations, businesses, wealthy people are putting money into a fund, which then is being distributed out to different groups doing work. And Manchester were named the first centre of excellence. So they've been given a huge amount of money to deliver this programme at scale across the whole of Greater Manchester with the support of the mayor and everything. And so that is happening right now to see if how many people they can train and what's the impact that has. If you start having a sort of large mass of people with dementia all using music, how does that change the way that communities are working and the way that healthcare is working? And they're working with the NHS to try and gather evidence of the savings that might be made to the NHS by really getting it embedded in how we think about care and how that people with dementia are supported.
But that's brilliant in so many ways. Like, as you say, to have them en masse, so it's not just individuals who can be so isolated in their situation, so often kept at home, so often it you know, their lives are made impossible to kind of join anything. But if they're with others on the same page, and for you and for the Manchester Camerata to be observing, to be taking notes and collecting evidence, that's really powerful. And it means, as you say, there can be a movement for change, not just incidences here and there of good work, but it's a whole rethink, isn't it? It's a very bold and brave way of looking at dementia rather than the obvious, which is it's a one-way ticket, it's pretty tragic, and you just have to crack on with it the best way you can. Actually, if there's music as the medicine rather than any other kind of more complicated, expensive treatment.
100%.
Yeah.
It's a really big part of the work that we've been doing at the Utley Foundation through Music for Dementia is, on the one hand, it is about speaking directly to individual families through things like Give It A Go and saying, give it a go, just do it. But we are also doing this, all this other work around trying to change the system and through and get policy change and make things work. And there are a number of really interesting, well, I think they're interesting, things that are beginning to knit together. That there's a Power of Music consortium of organisations who are interested in this, and we are part of and are working with people to try and do this as a piece of system change. And we're also working through, I don't know if you've heard of social prescribing.
Yes, I have. Yeah,
that
brilliant.
The National Academy of Social Prescribing,
yep,
is working to with the Department of Health and with everybody. It's part of NHS planning.
Is
this idea that doctors should be prescribing more than just pills?
Agreed.
And there's huge benefit in, and the evidence is mounting up, in terms of prevention and in terms of disease management, condition management, by prescribing things other than pills.
Yes.
And so the social prescribing movement, we're knitting that in with the Music for Dementia movement. And it's just a really exciting time. It feels like dots are beginning to join.
Yes, and finally.
Yeah. And I'm sure it'll still take time,
but
it does feel like things are crystallizing and beginning to move forward. Because for a long time, I think all those people who've discovered by accident that music can help, they've set up groups. There are little things happening everywhere. There's this rich, abundant sort of undergrowth of grassroots organisations who've been doing this for a long time. And what's beginning to happen now is that those shoots are being recognised. And how can we bring them together and make this happen? And I do think it is happening. I think there's a change underway.
Fantastic. That's so exciting. And as you say, of course, it could well take time, but at least it feels like people are on the same page and want to make this change take place. And there's enough. We know there are enough people that have the dementia. There are enough families affected by it. There are doctors, surgeries, hospitals that are jam-packed. And if we can socially prescribe, not only for the person with dementia, but also the family. So it could be that literally we could go as a family and they would say, we are going to prescribe you some music. We're going to prescribe you a connection to one of these wonderful events or music cafes or whatever it would be.
Or we're going to tell you how to make a personal playlist that is made up of musical memories that you can take with you wherever you go and listen if you need it. Or you teach them the musical techniques about how to communicate.
Yes.
Or I think that you can also prescribe music to carers. Like, say, okay, you're going to get an hour's respite a week. Why don't you join a choir?
It's
a, because you can't think about anything else if you're singing.
Yeah.
So it's actually, I'm part of a community choir. We never perform. We do sing beautiful songs and I think we sound great, but we've never performed. But it is this collection of people coming together for an hour and a half every few weeks just to be together.
Yes.
And you can't think about anything else when you're singing. So it takes your mind off your troubles and you are in a group and you're connected. It's social prescribing. Your prescribed social connection.
And it is a physical release. That singing process, either solo or in a group, is a physical release, like laughter or going for a run or whatever it is. It just loosens everything. And as you say, if you can only focus on that one, thing that's happening, it puts all the other troubles aside. And it's powerful stuff. I remember going with my mum to a choir and I would be in physical floods of tears, even in just the warm-up section. We hadn't even got to the beautiful singing. We were just warming up. But that process of warming up was clearly releasing
something,
everything that had been bottled up. And as carers, you've got to put a lid on so much and be so patient and so kind of empathetic and not allow any of those frustrations to bubble over. But of course they do. But if you can release the steam, let the steam off in a singing process, then it's wonderfully healthy.
And you can do it without the person with dementia. It can be your thing.
Yeah.
You can join a rock choir or the church choir or somewhere where you're there by yourself and that it's your music. I think that's part of it as well. I think more and more I feel like letting carers know that it's okay to listen to your music too. Like you listen to, I don't know, Radiohead or whatever does it for you. That can be a way of, I think carers, because carers, it's you can lose yourself.
Yeah.
You do lose yourself. Yeah. You lose yourself and yeah. Everything's on hold. Nothing's the way that you planned it to be. This isn't what you set out for.
Yeah.
And you're making the best of where you are.
Yeah.
But I think taking a little bit of time, letting music help you too,
yes.
I think that's a really important message.
Yes.
That I think carers being encouraged to listen to their own tunes from their own life
yes.
is a way of them reconnecting with who they used to be
yeah.
and who that life moves on and that, yeah, everything is, there's for everything there is a season.
Yes.
And I think listening to the music that you were in the past can be a good way of just reminding yourself who you are.
Definitely. And I found listening to tracks, even like Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell, one of my favourites, you know, I used to listen to it and love it. But because I've been pushed to the edge emotionally as a carer, there's a lid off feelings that are way stronger and more powerful than they ever were before. So actually listening to Meatloaf now is even better than it was in the 80s or 90s. So it's worth revisiting those tracks and seeing just how fizzy and connected you feel in that moment. You're absolutely right. And it's so key for the carers to plug in, to have their time. And music is a very quick way of unwinding.
And we've all got a musical identity.
Yeah.
So I think for a person with dementia whose identity is beginning, I always feel like it's fragmenting, like it's disintegrating.
Yes.
And that by tapping into their musical identity, you can allow them to bring that back together, even briefly.
Yes.
But likewise for carers who have feel like they've lost their identity because they're giving themselves completely over to somebody else's needs, that listening to their musical identity is good for them too. So
yes.
I think that whole concept of the musical identity is a really useful one in this idea of music and health, which I think is where social prescribing and music for dementia and power of music, that's where it's all beginning to coalesce. It's around this idea of music for health, and a musical identity is a key part of that.
So it's like someone's passport, whichever country they've been to, then had a stamp. Each of those stamps are tracks, and it's who they are.
The soundtrack of a person's life, their playlist for life. I've not thought about it as a passport, but I think that's another really good idea. Or going back to contented dementia, like the photo album metaphor that they use. I think you can have the same idea for musical photos.
Yes. And now it's so easy, isn't it, with MP3s, and you can quickly download stuff off wherever. Do you have, like, is there a way of someone downloading a playlist, or do you recommend a certain platform, or is it just a case of whatever suits?
Before I worked for Music for Dementia, I worked at Playlist for Life, which is a charity that was set up by Sally Magnusson, Magnus Magnusson's daughter, and that we were about trying to help people to find make a playlist about somebody's life.
And yes.
I think it's actually one of the most challenging things is how you can put all this work into making a playlist of somebody's life with all their memories and all their identity in it, but actually how you then convert it into something that a person with dementia can use whenever they need it, that is really, really difficult. That is the stumbling block.
Yep.
Because so much of how we access music now is through digital technology and touch screens and Wi-Fi enablement, and that people don't have record players or tape players or CD players to hand readily. And that is a barrier to somebody with dementia who really struggles with a touchscreen, can't remember the internet exists, doesn't know that you could say Alexa and something would happen.
Yep.
So actually that question you're asking, is there an easy way? No, there is not an easy way.
No.
But what we are working on at the moment at Music for Dementia is trying to think about how can we create something which presents digital technology in an analog way. And so we're looking at we're working on a number of things about trying to get an object together that would allow people to listen to music.
Okay.
So
it's for the person with dementia to have a very easy process, not necessarily for the carer to press play for them. No,
no.
It's for them in a spin thinking, actually, I need this.
Exactly. And to just try to make it simpler. Because I think it's also a lot of dementia carers are not themselves very tech savvy.
No.
I think there's a sort of guilty secret that there's this bunch of 50 odd women who actually are not very comfortable with Spotify.
Yeah,
or,
agreed.
But really, they've not listened to their own music for a long time because they really struggle with how to make it work.
Yeah.
And I think, there's a big digital divide, which I think is keeping people from their music. And I think there's an interesting set of work to be done about simplifying how people can access things that they used to do in physical object form.
And there isn't the ritual any longer, you know, like the ritual of taking the record out of a sleeve and putting it on the gramophone and sitting gently beside it. With your phone, you can't necessarily, as you say, you can't have the Wi-Fi, you haven't got the battery life, or...
And you can't give somebody a present. If you think about, like, when, I'm sure you were the same, mixtapes.
Yeah.
And that was like the best gift
ever.
Like, people who really liked you would make you a mixtape, and that you would have mixtapes from all your boyfriends.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but you can't do that. That if you wanted to make somebody a playlist, how do you present that physically? How do you give that as a lovely gift? It's not easy.
Yes.
So
it's finding that simplicity, as you say, for both the person with dementia and the carer.
And so we've been looking at the Yoto player, which families may know because they've bought Yoto players for their children who they don't want their children to have screens. So they've bought a Yoto player.
Yeah.
And so we've been looking at that and thinking, that is Wi-Fi enabled and you can stream things, but you can also press buttons. And so we're looking at how could we convert a Yoto player into something that you could listen to a playlist, or we've got a radio station, M4D Radio, that plays the music by decade.
Brilliant.
Could we set up a Yoto player so that is the way you can listen to that radio station?
Fantastic. So,
there's a sort of interesting piece of work there, I think.
And it's almost for the kids to design it, you know, because they're always so many steps ahead of us, aren't they?
They are.
Like if there was Blue Peter competition, like that would be... But it's true. So the radio station already exists and you pick your decade and you could just have that on in the background.
But you'd need to go onto an internet. You'd need to get on a laptop.
Yes.
It's very complicated. Yeah. Whereas... People remember is a radio is a thing that you press a button and then you turn a dial.
Yeah.
And that's what it does. It doesn't tell you what's playing. Nope. It doesn't tell you what's coming next. It doesn't show you the artwork of the album cover. It just, you press a button, you turn it, and you get to hear your music.
Yes.
And that, I think, is what people that's what people are looking for from a music player.
And from anything to do with dementia, like those with dementia remind us to just keep things simple, to not overcomplicate, to not overthink, to not worry about tomorrow. It's all about the present moment.
All living in the moment.
Yeah. And in that incredibly sensual, simple, spiritual way, it's just the here and now. So just pressing play is all we want to do.
Yeah.
The other thing that I know you're connected with, the music for dementia is connected with, is Tony Christie, who's your ambassador, or one of your ambassadors. Tell me about his role and why he's been so brilliantly important.
Well, singing legend Tony Christie of Amarillo fame.
Yeah.
He announced publicly that he had dementia 2 years ago now. And he was incredibly brave to do that because Tony is still working. Tony is still a singer and a performer. And he was diagnosed with dementia, and we got in touch with him because of who he is. And he said that he was really keen to do anything he could to try and help people with the condition and be our ambassador. So he's done so many things. He re-recorded Thank You for Being a Friend, Golden Girls theme.
Lovely.
He re-recorded that for National Thank You Day, and he sang at St Pancras Station with Vicky McClure's Our Dementia Choir, and he goes and he does interviews. He's done so many things because he feels it's really important to let people know, first of all, keep doing as much as you can. Keep living life to the full. Keep being yourself. He feels more himself when he's singing than at any other point.
Yes.
And so he wants to help us get that message out. And he also recognises that music helps. Music really helps. And he wants to do that.
Yeah.
So we've been working with him now for about 2 years. And yeah, I think the courage of Tony Christie is the thing that I really admire most, is because there's shame and stigma about this condition.
There is.
And
yep.
That he has just, and he says, I've never felt ashamed. I just think that why should I be ashamed? And he's people come up to him in the street and say, thank you for doing that. That
yes.
made me go and get a diagnosis, or that really helped my family. And so I think he's a really remarkable person, and we owe a huge debt of gratitude, I think, to people being brave enough to admit that they've got it.
Yeah.
So that we can all talk about it and we can all think about how do we make this work?
Yes. And the more we talk about it, the more we think about it, the better things can be. It's only when it goes underground that nothing will ever progress or change in any way. So as you say, he's done brilliantly to step up to that role.
He has, and we were working with him, and we've got to know him and his family.
Mm.
I think one of the things that I think has been really lovely is that Dea, they're such an amazing family that they go everywhere together, and sort of he's got lots of grandchildren, and one of them, Dea, she made a playlist for him very recently of his musical memories. That we really? Talked to her about this idea of musical identity and how to make a playlist, and so she did it and produced this beautiful playlist with so many musical memories, and had all these fascinating conversations with him about different tunes. And she'd set out thinking, I'll just put some of his songs on or some of the things that he likes. But when we spoke to her about this idea of identity, she spoke to him about how he met his wife, her grandmother, and that song went on, the song he was singing when she came in.
Yes.
And that she also learned about how his uncle used to play the piano, and that he would sing around the piano, so they had some of those. And
lovely.
It just opened up a whole set of conversations. And,
yes. And did she record those as they were happening?
She recorded some of the conversations.
Yeah.
We've got some of the voice notes
lovely.
That she did of some of those conversations. And
yeah.
And they're just lovely,
yeah.
How it sparks conversation. And then she put all the tracks that she's found so far into a playlist on Apple. And we've got it on our website. You can have a listen. And I think she'll carry on building it. And because that's the thing, that you will find songs all the time. That,
yes.
You think, oh, well, I'll put that on.
Yeah.
But we kind of say, just don't turn it into too onerous a task.
No.
Don't think of yourself as setting out to make the playlist of somebody's life. Just listen to music. And
yes.
If a tune resonates,
yeah.
Hit save,
yeah.
Save the song. And over time, you'll build up this, you'll
yes.
Get all the tunes that are meaningful.
So it's like a sort of scrapbook. It's something you can continue to add to. It's not set in stone in any way. You can delete ones that no longer work.
Yeah.
And I found when I did a playlist for my mum yonks ago, when So first started with you guys, and I sent a message to her loved ones, you know, her brothers, her sisters and friends, and, you know, from the past as well as kind of more recent friends. And it was so nice for them to feel part of what was happening to mum, because they all felt disabled themselves. They were like, yikes, I've been kept at arm's length by mum for a couple of years because mum just found it easier to control life by doing that. And finally, they were able to say, oh, I can send you this anecdote alongside this piece of music. And then we did sort of create a kind of scrapbook. So it not only helped mum having that on her headset, you know, to wander around the house with and enjoy, but also it meant that that gang of friends and family could feel like they were with mum during this time.
Isn't that interesting how that was a connection as well? That
yeah.
It is, isn't it, that music... It's partly that music can help make connection, but it's also that the way through this is by connecting.
Yeah.
It's all about can you find a way to connect? You said a beautiful thing about how you're panning for gold.
Yeah. It's
that you're always looking for the thing that can connect with your mum.
Yes.
And connect with everybody around your mum. And it's about how can we, what are the different ways that allow those connections to keep forming and keep strengthening? And that's another way of music doing it, is involving everybody in the process of the musical memory gathering.
Totally. And it's not even just in that moment that the connection works its magic. It can then last, the impression lasts all day long, sometimes for weeks. If it's been impactful, and I always call those moments sort of fizzy moments, you know, of these nuggets of joy, it can be medicine for a good few hours or days, which is incredible that it has that sort of power. And it's for her and for you, you know, it sort of works for both of you, keeps you both going.
There's that phrase, isn't there, about people might not remember what you did or what you said,
yeah.
but they'll remember how you made them feel.
100%.
And it's the feeling. And
Yeah, the details no longer matter. And when people say to me, does mum know that you're her daughter? I literally just bat it straight off because that's so irrelevant. I know when she sees my face, she smiles and she knows this is a good thing coming. And that's way more important than the detail of I'm her younger daughter, called Clara, aged however old I am.
She knows you're special.
Yeah.
And she knows that you love each other.
Yeah.
And that's...
that's the essence.
Yes, that's so... and I think that it's so hard to do, but if people can find a way of making that the focus, then that, I think, becomes the way through for everybody.
And lots of people don't get the chance to see the essence of their relationship. They don't get that window into the soul that I think us family members do. We see our loved one in their rawest form. And it's incredibly, it's unusual. And it's something that you feel sort of privileged to have had a glimpse of. And I think those family members must hold on to that. And if it's music that allows them into that, which I really believe it does, then that's such a wonderful win all round, isn't it?
Completely. I think you've summed it up. And I also think that point, that I do think music has got certain advantages over other activities.
Yes.
Because I think, I always feel like you can do it through nature, you can do it through art. There are other ways of doing this. But there's a neurological aspect to, or music has a neurological component, which has got all of the benefits of the other things plus the neurological aspect, so that it does work well in the brain, and it can help with pain relief, and it can help with stress and agitation. But I do think that point, that there are other ways of in too, that for some people it will be bird sitting in the garden and listening to the birds, or... whatever it is that allows a family member to find that essence.
Yes.
That's what we're all searching for.
Yes. So keep hunting. If one thing
panning
doesn't work.
For gold, yes. And you will find it. But it's not always easy, and it can elude you sometimes, and it can come back. But if you can, it is worth it, is what I'm hearing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, Sarah, it's been so interesting talking to you today.
It's been lovely. Thank you
really,
so much.
Really, really fascinating. Lovely to meet you properly. Yeah. And hopefully we'll talk again soon.
That would be lovely. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.